All right, happy holiday weekend to each of you here at Crossroads South Kokomo. Glad to have you here. For those of you at Crossroads North Kokomo, glad to have you with us. And I'm told that's where most of the cool kids hang out anyway, so we're glad you're there. And for those of you joining us online, whether you're at a campsite or a beach or a family gathering, wherever it is you've chosen to get away for this weekend, we're glad you took a few minutes from where you are to join us here. And I will say this starting out, this was always my father's, one of his favorite holidays. My father was a deeply patriotic man. He enjoyed this, and I was raised to enjoy it as well. I hope you have a good Sunday here, July 5th. But we're going to go ahead, as the video reminds us, and work on the Walk This Way series. This is week two, looking at topics that should shape how we walk, how we live our daily life. This week, if those of you are following along in the Core 52 book, you'll be in chapter 36, and you can kind of do some more study beyond the message. But I want to ask you a question to start the message today, and it is this. How do you keep what's most important to you secure? That's what we're going to talk about. And I'm going to try something to ask you to raise your hand for something a little bit more important than the names of rock bands or fireworks. But do this for me here, North Kokomo, wherever you are, participate with this. But let me ask you this. How many of you at your home have some sort of home security system? Raise your hand. Okay, good, good, good. Okay, put them down. How many of you at home somewhere, you don't have to tell me where, please don't get antsy about this, but somewhere at your home, you have a safe, someplace where you keep things, okay? All right, that's good. How many of you say, you know what, I got a something, I've got a box at the bank, or I've got another place where I've got some things secured away from my home? And a used old term was a lock box at a bank or safety deposit box, that sort of thing. You've got some things away from your home secured. Raise your hand. Okay, last question. How many of you, no matter what Brent or I ask, you're not going to raise your hand? Raise your hand. Okay, yeah, I kind of, okay, got that. Well, listen, I found this place in preparing for this message. It's called Iron Mountain. It's in Butler, Pennsylvania. And some of you right now are saying, I've been through Pennsylvania. I don't even remember seeing that. You wouldn't see it. It's underground. I have no pictures to show you. It is an underground vault and storage, secure storage area, 1.8 million square feet underground. To give you a context for that, think of the Tipton Chrysler plant times two, add a little bit more, all underground. And it is climate controlled, humidity controlled, all sorts of waves of security and iris scanners and special doors and fire protection and all that sort of thing. Warner Brothers keeps a lot of their original prints of the films that they've put out over the years at Iron Mountain. The federal government has a big section where they keep all sorts of things, including some pieces from Flight 93 from the 911 planes. And there's even, I'm told, there's a picture of Abraham Lincoln at Gettysburg taken with the technology of that day that's been preserved and is kept at Iron Mountain. And if you're thinking, you know what? I bet I could take, I've got something pretty important. Maybe I'll check that thing out. What's it cost to keep something secure at Iron Mountain? Well, let me remind you of this principle. If you have to ask what it costs, you can't afford it, okay? So it's not available to people like you and me, but I want to say this to you. We want to talk today about a possession that is more important than anything at Iron Mountain. And truthfully, you would not want to risk it being kept secure there. It needs to be more secure than that. You say, well, what in the world would be my most important possession? Check this out. Our most important possession is our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Our most important possession is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If you have it, then you've got everything. If you don't have it, you don't really have anything. You say, you can't say that. You don't know all the different important things that I have. No, but John said it. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. See that? whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. If you don't have Jesus, then you really don't have anything. If you don't have Jesus, no matter how full your life seems, you're really not living. And no matter how long your list of possessions are, if you don't have Jesus and a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then scripturally you have nothing at all. So the question is this: how do you keep your relationship with God secure? I mean, if that's the most important thing, how do you keep God from leaving you or me? How do I keep me from leaving God? And we're going to talk about that for the next few minutes in this message. But before we do, I want to warn you, because some of you here, some of you online, maybe some of you at North Kokomo, you have heard some teaching on this before, and you may be in what I would call one of two corners of beliefs about security. You may be in kind of in a camp or a corner like we typically do in our society, where some folks are over here, some folks over here, and these folks think these folks aren't right, and these folks think these folks aren't right, and it happens on this issue. And let me talk about those briefly in case this happens to be you. The first camp or corner would be the eternal security corner. You believe, phrase is used, once saved, always saved. Your relationship with God, once begun, is permanently secure. Nothing and no one, including you, can change that. And some of you have had teaching on that. You believe that. That's where you are. You've got Bible verses for it. And you're kind of in that corner. Then there may be some of you here or online, wherever you are, that you're in the corner of free will. You believe a lot of the things that the people in number one corner believe, but you also believe God's choosing you includes giving you freedom to choose Him. You believe you can walk away from your faith and your relationship with God. You believe you should persevere in your faith. So you've got folks in this corner, folks in this corner. We're going to look and see what God's Word says in just a moment. I'm going to point you to some verses first that we're going to call assurances, where God says things and He says, I want to say this as plainly as I can. I want to assure you as much as I can. And before I show you any of those, let me give you an illustration that I think will help you. Last Christmas, our kids got Lisa one of her favorite Christmas gifts of all time. They gave her a weighted blanket. Any of you got one of those? It's a blanket, and it doesn't, you'd say, well, blankets, they're light. No, these are heavy. They've got weights in the corners and the sides and everything else. And she gets cold when she goes to bed at night, and sometimes had some problem being restless. And we go to bed at night, and we pick up that blanket, and we do some calisthenics with it, you know, and then we take and lay that blanket on her side of the bed, because I want nothing. I don't have any trouble getting cold at night. And put that blanket there, and she kind of snuggles up in that weighted blanket, and she sleeps like a baby because she's wrapped in that thing. It makes her feel secure. Well, I want you, as we look at these verses, I want you to just to take each of these verses and wrap it around you. I want you to take these verses and just make them feel you as secure as God wanted to when He had the author say it. So look at this verse from John chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus speaking, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I underline this, I will never cast out. Take that verse, wrap it around you. Notice another verse from Jesus in John chapter 10. I give them eternal life. And they will never, again, underline, not in the scripture underline, but underline so you don't miss it. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You say, well, Jesus had some things to say about it. Anybody else? Paul, chapter 8 of Romans. You've heard this verse multiple times on this platform if you come very often. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Take that verse just like a blanket and wrap it around you. And then one more verse is this. As a guarantee of heaven, God has given us His Holy Spirit, the Spirit inside of you, is a deposit with a guarantee saying there's more where that came from, and I'm promising to take care of you. Those are assurances that God gives us in His Word, and I stopped at four. There's lots more that talk about the security we need to feel in Him. All of them are true. They're true for this campus. They're true for North Campus. They're true for those of you online. They're true whether you come to church a lot or this is the first time you've ever listened to a message. They're true for you and for me. And then we're going to look at some verses kind of on the other end of the continuum where God also gives some warnings. And some of you may be saying, well, hey, I can explain away those warnings. And those of you that focus on the warnings say, I can explain away those assurances. And the truth are, the one doesn't invalidate the other. They exist together in kind of in a tension that only God can manage. And we're going to look at the particularly the metaphors that are used in each one of these warning verses. So check this out. Hebrews chapter 4, 6. It is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened and then, here's the first metaphor, and have fallen away to restore them again to repentance. That's part of a bigger passage. So the first metaphor is the warning. Say, you know what? Some folks have fallen away. Now check this next verse out. Different metaphor. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away. First one was fall away. Second one was thrown away like a branch. Then check this next one out. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear, for some people have deliberately violated their conscience. And as a result, here's the next metaphor. Their faith has been shipwrecked. So we had fall away. We had thrown away, now we've got, they made a wreck of their faith, and then the last one is this. In the last times, some, and here's the next metaphor, will turn away. That's where we get the idea of apostasy. That's the original language you've ever heard. Well, what's the apostasy? It's the turning away. Some will turn away from the true faith. And what we want to spend our remaining time here today, because those are, here's these verses here, and I've been taught this, and we're going to look at what we can agree on and know regarding what these passages say to us about our relationship with Christ and how secure we can be in Him. So let me start with this. Number one, God has taken on the responsibility for the security of the believer. God is the one that has taken on the responsibility. Some of you right now, some of you watching us online, or some of you a little bit later here in this, you're going to be going places and going maybe to a family gathering, or maybe you went camping, or you had a barbecue yesterday, and you ever had those different families coming in, and okay, what are you going to bring? Will you bring the hot dogs and the buns, and you bring the chips and the drink, and you bring the potato salad and the macaroni and cheese, and different ones divide up. When it comes to our relationship with God, God says, I'll bring the security. I'll take care of that. That's my job. Matter of fact, He would say this, you or I can do nothing to make ourselves saved, or to make our salvation more secure or complete. The only contribution we make to the relationship with God is come to God with the need for it, our sin. It cost God everything to get you. Did you hear that? And He will stop at nothing to keep you. God long ago chose you and I. He began to pursue us. He will continue to pursue and protect and provide for us no matter what, no matter when. The responsibility for our security rests on God. He's taken it. Number two, God never wants you to be insecure, indifferent, or arrogant about your relationship with Him. He doesn't want you insecure. He doesn't want you indifferent. He doesn't want you arrogant. God never intended for you to worry a minute about his commitment to you. I've talked to people, maybe you have too. Maybe you're one of these people. I've not heard you say it, but you do this. Somebody says, well, do you know God loves you? If you die, do you know you'd go to heaven? And you say, well, boy, I hope so. You lay your head down at night. You maybe don't pray the little kid's prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, and you cross your fingers. No. I've heard people say, I hope I'm good enough. I hope I've done enough. I hope God wants me when I get to the end of my life. God never wants. There is so much in this day to worry about. And God does not want you to spend a minute, certainly, of all the things we do worrying about his commitment to you. God never wants your relationship with him to be taken for granted. He doesn't want you to be indifferent. He doesn't want you to ignore it. I've got once a year, I think about this. This year, first year in all the years that I've thought about it, I didn't think about it till come to July. I mean, it's the first year in my history where I'm going to pay my state taxes next week in July instead of paying them in April. Just the most bizarre thing. It's the time we're in. But when I'm looking at my taxes, there is an insurance policy that my dad took out on me when I was a kid, and it's paid up in full. It earns about $53 of interest each year, and that's the part that kind of gets, and it's the only time in the year I think about that commitment that dad made years ago, is I look and say, oh yeah, there's that $2,000 policy, and there's $53 in interest, and I'm supposed to declare it and put that in this column or whatever. And it's the means of the only time I think about that commitment years ago is once a year. God never intended your relationship with him to be like that. God never once wanted that to be true. God wants you to be thinking, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute, about your relationship with him every moment. And he certainly doesn't want you proud. He doesn't want me proud. One of the most foolish things we do as one of billions of humans on a little speck of earth here, of the universe called Earth, as part of this huge universe made by the omnipotent God, and we get proud and thinking we're big stuff. God never wanted you to feel proud about your relationship. So how should you feel about your relationship with God? Let me say it to you this way. The best illustration I ever saw, I saw years ago. I happened to be present in a judge's chambers in Lafayette, where five kids that I personally had a lot of awareness of were being adopted by a couple. Those five kids had gone through periods where they didn't have enough to eat. They'd gone through periods where they were moved from one place, didn't have a home, not sure where they were going to lay their heads. Those five kids had gone through incredible times of insecurity, of not being taken care of, not being cared for. And I watched, and when that judge declared that adoption to be full and legal and secure, those kids' eyes lit up, and they grabbed each other by the arm and said, can you believe this? And they were hugging each other and hugging mom and dad. We went out to eat afterwards. The youngest kid's name was the same name as our youngest, Ryan. And we walked up to this place, and we're going into a restaurant that happened to be a buffet. That's something you'll hear about in the museums later, because buffets have kind of gone away, right? But we were about to walk into this buffet, and Ryan's walking in, and he's still bouncing, and he looks up above, and he turns to me, and hey, check that out. And the buffet, the restaurant, was called Ryan's. And he's like, this day can't get better. And God wants you to realize, he wants you to say, you know what, my relationship with him, I remember when I didn't have God, nobody wanted me, wasn't sure, and God came to me, and he adopted me, and he's given me a home, he provides for me, he's given me an identity, it's secure, it's been made official, the judge has declared it. Your attitude towards your relationship with God should be one of humble, grateful, I can't believe I get the chance to be his child. Number three, God keeps us secure so we can choose to faithfully love and serve him. Let me say this to you. He wants us to love him. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to be faithful to him because we choose to. He adopted us to make us free, not to make us bound. God never once desired to have robots or prisoners. God wants kids. God wants children. God created the relationship with you and I so that we could respond to him and choose to serve him and choose to love him and choose to be faithful to him. And that's why the warnings are there, because it is as anti what God set it up for as possible. And then number four, God wants us to prayerfully prioritize our relationship with him every moment of every day and point as many other people to him as we can. Let me say this to you, and we're going to close here in just a few moments. Some of you during this message, some of you may be at North Kokomo, some of you wherever you're watching us, some of you have been having this thought. Well, I've got a kid that was in the church, raised in the church for a while, now they're out on their own, and they don't act like Jesus is very important. Are they okay? Some of you maybe have a spouse that used to come with you. Some of you may have a spouse watching you at home online, watching with you, and you're watching in one heart, and they show no evidence of ever thinking about God at all, and you say, well, what about them? What do I do? Where are they? What should we do? And I'll say this to you. For any of us to have a relationship with God, for any of us to someday be in heaven, grace is required for all of us. You hear me? Grace is required for all of us. God determines our destiny. Our job, pray and point to Jesus. Pray for that person that you're, and don't be trying to sort out, well, I think they're still okay, or no, I don't think they ever made a commitment to start with. Don't waste your time trying to decide what is true about their relationship with God. Point them to Jesus and pray for God to draw them in that way. So how do we take our next steps leaving here in security? How do we walk in security? Two things. I'm going to show you, first of all, a prayer. I'm going to walk through it here. We're going to pray this prayer as we close this service, okay? So I'm going to pray the prayer that you're going to see, and then I'll tell you what we'll do walking out after the prayer. So look at this prayer. Walk through it. Heavenly Father, I accept, or maybe for you, you've already accepted, I accept or have accepted your invitation to be in a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. I am thankful for your promise to keep me secure in your hands no matter what comes till I'm with you in heaven. So help me to live each moment humble, grateful, trusting, looking for ways to love and serve you. Show me who else I can point to Jesus and how I can do so. I'm resting fully in your love and your commitment to me. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to pray that prayer together in this room. Those of you in North Kokomo, we're going to pray this prayer together, and we're going to pray it to those of you watching us online. I'm going to ask you to pray it in your heart as I pray it out loud with you. But then when this service is over, when we walk out of South Kokomo, you walk out of North Kokomo, folks walk, go on with the rest of their day, here's the second next step. You need to ask God to show you who he wants you to point to Jesus. There's somebody in your life that God wants you to point Jesus out to and show you how to do that. And then whatever he shows you, you just do what he says. Okay? So here's what we do right now. Ask you right here in this room, bow your heads. Those of you at North Kokomo, bow your heads. Those of you online, bow your heads. I'm going to pray. And then once I pray, I'll have a few things to say to us here at South Kokomo before we walk out. But join me in this prayer. Pray this prayer in your heart as you hear me voice the words. Heavenly Father, I accept your invitation to be in a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. I am thankful for your promise to keep me secure in your hands no matter what comes till I am with you in heaven. Help me to live each moment humble, grateful, trusting, looking for ways to love and to serve you. Show me who else I can point to Jesus and how I can do so. I am resting fully in your love and commitment to me. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.